Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, July 26, 2018. You can find our podcast on Google Play, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can find me on Twitter at MarcusB814 and Nick
as at Nick Vern. That's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. So, this week we have Max and Seema from the SOTOR Escape podcast. We're going to get in-depth on the AIE Guild and discuss the Summer of Love.
Summer of Love.
Thank you to both of you for coming on the show. And please tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you've been doing in-game.
Max and or Seema, take it away.
Yes. Hello.
Okay. Hello. I thought we said Max first.
I am Max. I have been doing things in game. I play a lot of Star Wars. I play a lot of all the games. That's part of what we do in AIE in general. This past week, especially in Star Wars, has been huge for our guild. We took on the challenge of trying to not only achieve a strong goal in conquest, which we've been doing really well on the last couple months especially, but we decided we were going to try to win a planet. So it was galactic conquest, which meant there was a whole bunch of planets, 19 planets up for grabs. We decided we're going to win a planet, and as a result, everybody did a great job of coming together and doing all the things to get a whole bunch of conquest points, and we did win a planet, which was really cool. Yeah, and everybody came together to do it. But in order to get like all the points, I did some of everything. So I did operations, I did flashpoints, I did a lot of PvP, I did a lot of GSF. I got like my weekly done for Galactic Starfighter. I did a whole bunch of PvP on my Sork. I did crafting. So it was a big Star Wars week for me, and it was quite a lot of fun.
Wow, that's cool. It is. I got my title, Conqueror of Balmora.
Yes. So,
that's sweet.
It's really sweet. And then I saw some of the pictures from last night of everybody on Balmora stacked up. It was awesome.
And I think on Tuesday, Seema posted some really good pictures after our mandatory fun night. I saw that, Seema, of all the people, all the participants from that night, at least, with all their titles showing. And that was really cool.
Yeah, that was actually a very fun night. And it was fun taking that picture because it took a while, but that was fine. Everyone was mellow and we all put our titles on and people were trying out different mounts and arrangements and, you know, saying dumb stuff like short people in the front. And but yeah, it was fun.
Marshmallows in the back. put the marshmallow marauder in the back. That's what I tell everybody.
I also spent that week doing quite a bit of conquest stuff, mostly ops and solo stuff and crafting. But I was really happy to get that title. So I'm going to wear that all the time now, I think. I'm definitely going to live on Balmora this week, for sure. So that every time I enter a new zone, I can see it on the screen. This planet controlled by AIE.
Yeah, that is. It's no small feat because, you know, everybody was talking about it during the week and, you know, the strategy that went through to get there, just the people putting up the points and then saying, okay, we got to watch this. We got to watch this. We got to watch this. It just, the time and effort that people put into it to be able to conquer the planet was awesome. And even to the last minute, I think we were up 700,000 points or something. And everybody's like counting down the minutes.
Yeah.
It could still backfire.
Right.
But anytime, it's a huge aspect of conquest, which I think is really, really good for Star Wars. And I think they should double down on the system because I call this a meta game that gets created. It's basically player generated content where you've got a whole bunch of players outside the game figuring out a strategy and how you're going to go after it and what you're going to do and who's going to group up to do what. And if players are like sort of making their own game around the game, then although we want, you know, the next ops to come as quick as it can and the next flashpoint to come as quick as it can, if you have systems like this in a game where people can make their own fun around the game systems, it sustains a game so much better.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, anybody can do conquest. That's the best part. Where ops, if you're new to the game and you have a level 30 player, Nick, you can't do ops or you can't do something. So, but you can get involved with the guild and do conquest.
Right.
Right.
So I have a bit of a noob question here. So conquest, obviously you're competing against other guilds to control a planet, but is there a minimum amount of like quest points that you have to get in order to be like eligible in the race? I'd imagine like you can't just have like one person in one little something and you get a planet.
So it's nice. It happens. So the goal system happens on two levels. So you the first thing you said is only partly true. You're only competing against other guilds in the sort of the new system since, you know, for the past few months. You're only competing against other guilds if you're looking to win a planet. And the only benefit to winning a planet is the extra title and, you know, the little, you know, very minor benefits you get for like being able to ride a walker around on that planet for the week.
It's dust off your shoulder and, you know, say we did it.
It's bragging rights, right?
Exactly.
The real thing you're looking to do is you're trying to achieve your guild goal, and you get to choose to invade a small, medium, or large planet. And when you choose that planet, then your guild gets a point total that you need to go after. And any guild who gets their point total then all the guild members who participated and got their personal targets get part of that reward. It's not as much competing against other guilds as it used to be in the past. It used to be up until the wire, you had to be one of the top 10 guilds on a planet to get anything. So it's a little more, it's a little less competitive in that way from a guild to guild perspective. Which is nice. It's nice in a way. I mean, we can make our guild target, and we already have this week. We made it three days in. We probably should have picked a large target instead of a medium target, but 3 days in, we hit our target, and now everything else is gravy. Whatever we want to do with our personal characters, get more personal characters towards their personal targets, so each of those characters gets a reward. But we're gold as a guild for the week, so it's pretty cool.
But one of the reasons we were just hovering on, you know, that 700,000 is there are guilds out there that could drop 700,000 points in a heartbeat. And we didn't know if there was one hanging out there just waiting.
Yes. Sandbagging.
That's the mystery of conquest.
It's a fun part. It's like the eBay, the old eBay system with the bidding. You know, you're watching 10 seconds, 9 seconds, and people are bidding. And all of a sudden, it's almost like the Isaacs fight at the end when the flash goes off and you want to know who's alive. Is anybody alive? Oh, nobody's
anybody,
alive.
Please, anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. 20 minutes later. So.
I want to try that up at some point.
We'll take you.
I need to do the story first in order for it to make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No, it won't make sense regardless. It's you'll die and
that part that's makes a risk sense. Yeah.
We're willing to take.
You're gonna die.
Yeah, definitely. I die on the like easy quote unquote ops.
Everybody learned. Died.
Yeah.
I still die. I think I died 6 times last night.
It's not fun if you don't die.
You know, if you play long enough, everybody has fallen off the thing in SOA, the SOA fight.
Yes. You do not need to feel ashamed that you fell down. If you have not fallen down on SOA, then you have not lived. You've not been playing enough.
I didn't feel too bad the first time I fell. Bad about stepping in the lava about 400 times on the sort of mini buff fight before that. But I didn't feel too bad in a SOA fight because I had like 3 other people fall at the same time. I don't know what happened, but like somebody jumped the wrong way or like something, and we all followed each other to our deaths.
Answering the question, but that's friend jumps off a bridge. Would you follow?
Yes,
probably.
Yes, absolutely.
Really? Yeah.
I'm sure we'll talk more about our guild and our guild events, but we've done that as a guild event of let's all jump off a bridge.
Yes, that's right.
We approve.
It points for style.
So, Nick, what have you been up to this week?
Well, my gaming life this week has been rather boring. I worked all weekend after, you know, we recorded our last episode Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I didn't really get home until late, so I didn't have the energy to go and play games. Then during the week this week, I've had a bunch of homework since it's the last week of my summer Spanish class. So, again, haven't really had a lot of time to get online. But now that summer class is done, I'm going to have a lot more time to be on SOTOR.
And your summer officially begins today.
Exactly.
Right now.
Right now.
Not tomorrow. Today.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So this segment should be a little more interesting once I'm actually, you know, more active on online. But besides playing SOTOR, I have had time on my commute to listen via Audible to the SOTOR books, which have been awesome. I've finished Revan, I finished Deceived, and I finished Fatal Alliance, and now I'm working on Annihilation. I just finished Deceived. I sort of listened to him out of order, but I just finished Deceived within the past couple days. That was really cool. It was cool to see sort of a softer side to Malkus, who, you know, in the game you only see as like at his peak, basically, is, you know, full dark side capacity.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see him, like, you know, have a weakness to his Twi'lek servant / lover, whose name I tragically forgot. But,
and that's something about the Sith that I didn't actually say in before, is that, you know, the Twi'leks are really slaves.
Yeah, in the Empire.
And, yeah, you know,
oh, yeah,
as much as, you know, Malgus liked her, she was still his slave.
Yeah. Which, that was an interesting dynamic, how, like, yeah, he loved her and stuff, although he never said it, but it was sort of implied. But, like, he was always, you know, sure to keep her in her place. Like, hey, yeah, we have this relationship, but you're still my servant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, you're still serving me. Which, it was just cool to see that whole dynamic and then see him, you know, eventually, spoiler alert, you know, get rid of that relationship entirely and permanently. But yes, I'm really enjoying the books. It provides a lot of backstory for me that I otherwise wouldn't have had. I even watched, actually, right before we started recording, I watched the videos, sort of the cinematic trailers for SOTOR, which were really cool. It's cool to see, like, Satil Shan as an apprentice and sort of Malgus as an apprentice. And, you know, you hear about them in the books later and stuff like that. So it's cool to see these characters more fleshed out. Anytime I can get extra lore and background, I'm all about it.
And that's how you get sucked in.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why when you send pictures of naked Sith lords, I mean, clothed Sith lords to your girlfriend, and you send them to me instead, I'm like, what are you doing? But that's how I know you're hooked on the game. Up outside of the game, that's when you're in for it.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't care less.
No.
To say she actually has not seen any Star Wars movies. Even. But that being said, she hasn't seen almost any life. So.
Do you hear that?
The crickets,
yeah.
On the other end. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to be like, okay, please, you know what? I'm going to ask for Christmas for that. Please watch the original trilogy with me. That's my only Christmas gift. That's what I'm going to say. Boom.
That's a good idea.
No.
Yeah, it is a good idea. I just got to – she has some kind of base for what the hell I'm talking about. But anyways, this is totally a tangent here. Marcus, what have you been up to?
Conquest.
What?
Opa! So we took, Max said that earlier, you know, to see the guild come together. And I guess I'm saying this with as much passion as I can, because, you know, when people come together, thing, it feels so good.
Super fulfilling.
Right.
Like we were saying last episode, you know, the whole other content is coming together with a group of people and accomplishing something that you otherwise couldn't have as individuals.
Right.
You know,
achievement.
Yeah, it's super fulfilling to know that your part mattered.
Sure. So I had to still hit my conquest goal, my personal target. So on Saturday night, we ran with a couple people. They came. Corley came. Rube came. I'm not sure on the fourth. I can't remember, and I'll probably get slapped next week for it, or when they listen to the show. But it was awesome. They were like, "Come on, let's go. Let's go do these dailies. Let's go do this. Let's get everybody to their target." Because every point matters in taking a planet. Then Sunday with the Death Star Troopers, we did Explosive Conflict because that was conquest related. Then we did Dreadtooth, which is a world boss in Section X on Belmora.
I have done that.
Yes, you have. And I don't know if that had anything to do with conquest, but my new goal is to have one of my tunes look like the Dreadmasters. So that Dreadtooth drops a Dreadmaster's mask. It's the only place you can get that. So we did that, and then we did the Golden Poodle to finish off the night. But I brought my Bounty Hunter, which I never do. I like my Marauders.
Yeah.
And I like the close combat, and the range kind of is boring.
Just sit back.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Oh, interrupt. And it's just, I don't know. I don't find the excitement. I guess because those channels, most of their abilities channel. So they take 3 seconds. So once you hit the three key, you're sitting around for 3 seconds before you have to do anything else.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
So the cooldowns are way longer.
Exactly. And I don't think I could play a sniper because you have to duck behind cover for 4 seconds before you can shoot somebody.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
I like to be up close, and I like to be
just a constant flurry of attacks.
Well, just drop your face on the keyboard and roll it around, and you're doing your moves, right?
Yeah, get real up close and break every CC and jump in before the tanks have even started the fight. Yeah, I know. You really like to be up close there, which is.
Yeah, so. All right. So, 3 times this week, somebody has made a comment about me, messaged me, or when we were doing something, oh, Marcus, don't forget to break my CC. I'm like, what are you talking about? And when we were doing explosive conflict, they're like, Marcus, we're CCing the guy in the little at the top of the hill on the right. Make sure you jump there. And I'm like, where is this coming from? They're like, do you not remember what happened? And then somebody put in our Discord, hashtag Red Reaper. And then I knew right away. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm never going to live that down.
But do you even want to?
No. Yeah, that's par for the course for a marauder. You're not maraudering properly if you're not doing those things, you realize.
Right. I guess, yeah. So for Fun Feeling Mondays, we didn't have a giant group for a while, so we just did some world bosses, and then we ended up with enough to try to kill Dreadtooth. Well, we tried. And we failed. And then I didn't know once you die on Dreadtooth, you can't just kill him again.
Oh, you have to wait?
Yeah, because there was some buff or something where we were all fighting him, and then all of a sudden we were all just dead.
Huh.
I've never experienced that, but it was real.
That kind of happened to me when we were fighting the Golden Poodle. I don't know what I did, but I was attacking those two droids. And I don't know if, like, for some reason they both attacked me at the same time or something. And, like, it was just a weird moment. But I was like, I thought I was at full health and just DPSing away, and then all of a sudden, boop, I was dead.
Yeah, it happens.
I don't know.
So, that, and then Tuesday, I slept.
Wow.
You know, usually I'll try real hard. Well, I've been building my kitchen, as you know.
Yeah.
And so I stayed at the shop late, I'm building the kitchen, and I got home, and then I signed in to Discord, and there was like 22 people or something in the channel, and I was like, all right, they don't need my help. And I turned on my computer, and the couch that's sitting right to our right, I sat, and, you know, my wife came downstairs. She's like, are you sleeping downstairs tonight? I'm like, no. What time is it? She's like, it's 9:45. I'm like, all right, I'm coming to bed. So Tuesday, to that, last night with our sub team, it was the first time our entire team was back together. It feels like 2 months, but it's probably only been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But it was nice to have the full team there. We went over to Terror from Beyond. Do you remember that place?
Yeah. Well, that's the one I did the back half. Hey, with Max and Seema. That's right. Yeah. Was that for
Mandatory Fun Night? Yeah. Where they were like, awesome. Nick, don't stand there. Oh, God.
Hey, see that giant lightning that really fills half your screen? All you got to do is not stand in it, okay? Just remember where it comes out and don't stand there. Perfect. Idiot-proof. I got it.
It's really hard to clue in on that, but yeah, don't stand in the giant swirling pool of lightning.
30 yeah. seconds later, hey, thanks for reviving me, guys.
Well, a funny story is when Seema, we were doing, I think, Karaga's Palace. This goes way back, and we were fighting the Rancor. Seema's like, Marcus, when he's hitting you, stand still. And this is way. And I was like, what do you mean? He's not hitting me. And they're like, do you have target? I was like, no. And you could hear Seema start to go, grr, and then she took off her push to talk mic. So Either
that
way.
Fight brings out the worst in me. Oh,
Seema's favorite fight in the game.
Yeah, that's my favorite fight in the game, she said sardonically.
Yes.
Yes. So the only other big detail is tomorrow night. Big night. Big night.
Yay!
Big
night.
We have our monthly mega event. So tomorrow night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, because that's the correct time zone. And and it's on the Republic side, which is much as it hurts to say that. But it's for our good friend Zen. He always says, oh, are we on the pub side? No. And you can see the...
I know. Okay. He becomes completely deflated.
Yeah. Okay. So we're doing the pub side. We're going to do a Datacron run. And I have no idea where any of these Datacrons are. So I host these events, and I have no idea where any of these things are. Because I've gotten two.
You know what's going to help you?
What?
The Google.
Well, I tried. And I'm going to try to find a couple just so I don't look like a complete idiot tomorrow. But I'm going to just basically say everybody else find them. And I'm going to fail miserably.
Yeah, just use the Google.
Yeah, no, well, it's... But you have to, like, jump to find some of these. It's not like you can just run up to this cliff and you're like, oh, there it is. You can see it at the bottom of the cliff. But to get there is fucking impossible.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how many we can actually stand on the Datacron and just summon you up.
Yeah, I think we'll have... We have a bunch of tricks up our sleeves compared to how we had to do it in the old days.
Right.
I think we'll have a good time.
Well, we're going to have a good time regardless because you're going to get to see me fail. And I think, like, if you're hosting the event, you're open to the fail jokes.
I mean, you're promising me fail. You better deliver.
Oh, I fail all the time.
It's really hard to fail with Datacron. So yeah, you're promising a show here, and I don't, you know.
No, I fail.
By the end of the night, we're going to be like pushing you off cliffs or something to amuse ourselves. I don't know how you're going to fail as much as you think you are.
Well, it depends who's there because, you know, on our Sunday night ops team, Dent and Rack Evan, they play a game on Pull the Marauder. So all of a sudden we'll be doing something and they'll pull me from one side of the map to the other. Because they're doing separate things and they think it's hilarious. And all of a sudden I'm hitting the boss and then all of a sudden I'm in the back of the room and they're laughing or Dent will pull me all the way up to the top of a cliff before we go into the instance. And then he'll be at the bottom already. And I'm like, thanks, man. And then I jump off and I die. So, you know,
but they're right. That is hilarious.
Exactly. That is hilarious. So,
I wish I could
especially
see that.
The dying part. Yeah. I like that.
It makes it scarier.
Well, so we're going to do that, and then tomorrow I have one trivia question. Well, I actually have two as a backup in case, like, two people, like, kind of say the answer at the same time. Yeah. But I have one mega trivia question, and the winner is going to get a 60-day subcode.
That's quite a prize.
Yeah, it's an epic prize.
Or a mega prize.
Oh, it's a mega prize, yes. So every
stick
month
the branding.
You know, I just like to give something away because everybody likes to come and have fun and, you know, and everybody should come home with something, you know, there's a chance. So this is the last time. So you have until 8:59 p.m. tomorrow to message me on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814 and Nick is?
At Nick Vern, N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N.
And you can ask me through direct message for a hint. I've only had one person ask me for a hint, and I gave them. And that's the only way you can get a hint onto what the trivia question will be. But if all of this sounds fun, which I know it does, because if we got Nick to play this game after 2.5 years, trust me, it's fun. You can go to aie-guild.org, get our Discord info, say hello, get an officer to invite you into the guild. Fill out an app. Come have some fun with us because I know I would love to have you.
I definitely would love to have you over.
Max, would you like to have him?
I would love to have you.
Seema?
Yes, absolutely.
See, it's easy. Just go to aie-guild.org and we would love to have you join the guild.
Come on down.
Yeah. So in SWORDTOUR news, there's been a few PTS and updates. Nick, do you want to take that from the top?
Yep. It's just from thanks to all.
Yeah,
sure. So thanks to all of the amazing and constructive feedback you've shared with us. As part of this PTS cycle, the SOTOR dev team has determined some needed improvements to key functionality, as well as areas where we want to put a little more time and polish into the Rishi Hideout stronghold to ensure the update is as awesome as possible. To that end, we are pushing the release date for 5.9.2 Galactic Legend back 1 week to August 7th, 2018. We will also be releasing one last update to PTS to help test out these high priority items along with various other bug fixes that have been made. We're aiming to make that available before this weekend, possibly as soon as tomorrow.
So I'm okay with them delaying an update a week for it to be right.
Yeah.
You know, people are always in outrage, but they could be on time and people still outrage.
Yeah, I would rather push it back. And I think it was, I don't remember his last name, but the guy who created Zelda and Mario, I want to say Miyamoto, but
I don't know.
That could be wrong. But he had a quote that went something like, late game is bad for a little while. A bad game that's released is bad forever. Something to that effect. So basically, the sentiment is delay the game and get it right versus pushing out a product that's not finished.
Sure. So one thing I wanted to mention that they're coming out with is the ability to toggle PvP on and off throughout the entire Rishi Hideout Stronghold. I think it's a great feature because, you know, if you don't want to do PvP and you're just having an Apolis dance party inside your stronghold as he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want somebody triggering PvP in that. Or, you know, if you're doing PvP, you want it to be able to be shut off if you're going to do something else.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
You guys have any thoughts on that?
No, I think you're right on. I think that's a good update. That's a good fix. I think the design of the Rishi Stronghold is incredible and amazing. I mean, one of the things I was talking about in the beginning was that meta content of players being able to create their own content. This is a key way. This is another way that players are going to go off and like create a whole bunch of their own content. But yeah, if you just want the Stronghold, being able to shut it off, that's a great idea.
And the things they've added to enable observation, I think is really hot. Not only the being able to go around as a, you know, on the actual field where the fight is happening, but I think they're adding an observation deck or improving the one that's there too.
Well, it's because they saw Max sitting at the top of at the top of that, and they were like, "All right, so if he took 4 hours to get up there, we better give him some kind of tower to sit up there the right way."
I am taking 100% credit.
Yes,
you know, our post show 2 episodes ago, whatever it was, but you can still find
observation deck.
That was an awesome achievement for me to finally find my way up there after we did that show. And then yes, our name should be scratched on top of that sun deck or whatever it is as credit for that being put in the game.
Right. Oh no, I absolutely believe it was you guys that did it. That picture of you sitting up there. It's wonderful.
Oh, it's a great picture. Yeah, that was a good picture too.
For sure. So today, Eric posted this afternoon, and he said, "Hey, folks, here we go again. Round 2 of final changes." In all seriousness, thank you all for your continued feedback. You should expect that the next PTS build will go live either tomorrow or Saturday. The big thing, all items that require cartel market reputation should now properly check that requirement against the player's underworld exchange reputation for real this time. I don't know. In the arena, players can no longer use the traversal abilities such as force leap to approach characters who are flying through the air due to using a jump pad, whatever that means. There's a bunch of other stuff that they're changing. Other than that, the PTS is the PTS. I think it was good that they did this and gave people the opportunity to play and see it before they bought it. Because I know that when we did, you know, the ops version of it, I thought it was great because it gave us a head start on the bosses. But it also helped BioWare see that we're terrible?
Oh, well, that was interesting, but that and that being a closed test, they did limit the exposure. This being something again that is designed for players to take it and do their own thing with, they really had to open it up. I couldn't see it working any other way. Open it up, let players try to incent players to get in there and try it out and go crazy, because if you don't with this kind of thing, you're not going to realize that people get the bright idea to go, you know, like aggro a thing and jump off the other thing, and you know, and then something goes haywire. So you get a lot more testing feedback when you get a big open, an open test with this kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to it being released August 7th. And then that's when we'll actually get to use it. And the next mega event will be in the Rishi Stronghold. Yes. We'll make sure of it. We'll do some kind of hot ball and some, maybe some dueling, because there's some people I want to duel against because I have a vendetta. So anyway, Nick, you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Awesome.
And we're back. So today we're discussing the EIE Guild in SOTOR and the Summer of Love.
So one, you guys, can you tell us about the EIE Guild and what it stands for?
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't I start off and then Seema can chime in too.
Okay.
I've been part of AIE for many, many years now. So probably 6 or 7 years. AIE's been around for longer than that, maybe 10 plus years. AIE stands for the name itself stands for it's Alea Iacta Est, which is a Latin phrase, which roughly translates to the die has been cast. And that's a double meaning relating to Dungeons and Dragons, casting dice. And, you know, so it's a gamer thing, and it's, you know, we've sort of set ourselves up to be this guild. And this was formed way back in the day when a bunch of people got together and got the bright idea that we needed a guild, especially around at that point in time, the launch of World of Warcraft.
Okay.
World of Warcraft started to get really big. We had some, you know, some of the founders of the guild said, hey, let's get involved. And there's a couple people that started this new thing called podcasting. We're going to start a podcast too. So this was Scott Johnson deciding to have the bright idea to start a podcast and do it right. And that also got really, really big. So the Instance podcast was born. So in addition to that group of friends and the founders creating the guild because they wanted a place that they could instill their culture of just being excellent to each other and playing a game together, they set that foundation for the culture. They got that podcast, which got really popular because they're brilliant people, and it was really fun to listen to. And that then became a feeder into people that want this kind of large guild, but really family friendly, cool, you know, culture of a guild where everybody's excellent to each other. That's how the guild sort of got started. Since then, everybody saw the proliferation of additional MMOs out there and a lot of really cool games that everybody could start playing, and the guild started to grow and getting into all of the games, basically. So it's very MMO focused for the most part, although we get together and spin off and play other games from time to time. I think there's probably AIE people playing every possible game out there, but most of our guild activity, the kinds of games where you need a set group, are the MMOs. That's where we're focused. But everybody's still staying true to that core culture of, hey, we're sort of like this mature group of people who, you know, want everybody to be cool to each other and don't tolerate drama and people being jerks and that kind of thing. So as long as you're fitting in, you're not a jerk, then AIE can be a great place for everybody to come and hang out. And that's where we're at today.
I'm surprised they haven't kicked me out yet.
not at all. Anything else to add to that, Seema? I mean, I think that's sort of the broad strokes.
Well, I'll just say that personally, I found AIE because of the Instance. I was playing WoW on a different server with a handful of friends, and I was kind of feeling down about how sort of toxic the community, the general WoW community was, and like there's the communications on general chat sometimes was very sort of angry and hate filled. And then I heard the instance and hear these two guys talking who also played WoW, but they were like adult and compassionate. And I said, I should check those guys out. And that was my first exposure to AIE.
Oh, wow. So that was through the general chat and WoW?
The general chat and WoW. I mean, general chat in all the games is problematic. I felt like the main problem was I felt like what was going on in general chat wasn't representative of me. I didn't see myself in it. And that's really all I saw until I started listening to podcasts, especially The Instance. And then that's when you start to see a mirroring of, hey, these are people like me that have the same kind of values that I have. I'm going to go play with them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. That's you found AIE the same way I did. So I played SOTOR in the beginning, bought the collector's edition, excited about it, played it for a week. And I was like, this is not for me. Back to Call of Duty. And then some years later, I get married and, you know, start to chill out. And I started to play it again. And I fell in love. And then I'm like, well, like Nick sending naked pictures of Sith Lords, I started looking for podcasts. And so I found your podcast. And, you know, it was funny is I was on the Jedi Covenant since the beginning. And when you guys said that, I'm like, wow. And then I started playing and I was in a guild, but it wasn't the same. It was more of a sign in and you see 30 people logged in, but nobody's doing anything. Everybody's just saying hello and chatting, which was fine. And you guys were talking about all these awesome things that you were doing. Well, back then it wasn't conquest related. It was really ops and mandatory fun night. Mm-hmm. And then, so I joined on the pub side and realized there wasn't many people playing on that. And then I joined Arv's team and he got me into the raid team. And that's where it just kind of took off. So the power of a podcast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
minds connecting over the internet.
So talking about podcasts, I have to know, how did you guys get started in a podcast?
Well, I don't know if we both tell this story the same way, but I can tell it my way and Max can chime in.
Perfect.
But we used to be on the same, well, we still are on the same ops team, but I noticed that every once in a while, Max and I would get into a conversation and it would just kind of go on. And I always thought it was really interesting. And I was also thinking about how can we attract people to our guild that play the same way that we do? And so just one night I said to Max, why don't we just start a podcast and we'll just talk the way we talk to each other right now. And maybe that'll attract people that are attracted to that. And we'll start to build more of a community of people to have that in common. My original idea was that we would just do like 20 minutes and it would just be conversational and people would say they like it or they don't like it, you know, but it then Max kind of took it and made it into like a really more finished product with more information and probably much better than what I had envisioned. But yeah, that's my story.
But the basis, and this is the way a lot of people describe our podcast, is two people, you know, just talking about what they've been doing and talking about the game. And that is really the basis. But you're absolutely right, Seema. We were looking for a way to, in the same way that the instance did for World of Warcraft, we were looking for a way to attract players like us to come play the game with us. Because people come and go all the time, you know, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
We certainly wanted, though, to have somewhat of an influx of people that were like us that wanted to come play Star Wars with us. Because that's what's going to make, that's what makes the M, at least one of the M's, if not two of them, work in an MMO.
Right.
You know, Seema and I would get into these good conversations and I, if I was going to do a podcast, and I always said this in my head, I'd need to have someone that I could have a rich conversation with and have ideas that I could bounce them off of. And not that we agree on everything. In fact, that's one of the good parts is we have our own ideas and we have our own background that we bring to the table. And it's a good opportunity to have a conversation about this kind of thing. And then You know, so we said, yeah, fine, let's turn it into a podcast. Now I'm looking back. Seema does too. We come from these backgrounds of developing things and planning things and, you know, project management background and development background. I have the show notes from every single show we've ever done. So I just clicked over to the 2013 tab and here's August 19th of 2013 and the show notes for our pilot show, which never aired. This was 1 week before our first, before episode one. And I've got our show notes. And we laid it out and we laid it out into sections. So we know what we were going to talk about and decided that this is the way we're going to talk both about the game, make it somewhat entertaining to talk about the news, have a topic, but more than anything else. And this is what the purpose of the show has always been, is to get the idea of who we are out there so that we can get more people to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, there's no other benefit to us
right.
at all whatsoever.
Like I always had this sense that we're not unique, that there's hundreds and thousands of players who just want to play the way we play, but how do we get all those people to sort of connect?
Yeah. I agree. You know, it's funny, as your story is almost the exact same as Nick and I. Nick and I would have these epic conversations about what bullshit game he was playing or what playing, and we would start going on and on and on. And then one day, I think he said, we should do a podcast. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And it kind of came up as a joke. And then Christmas came and I got the mic and hence we started. So it's kind of the exact same thing.
I mean, we're, you know, pretty substantially behind in the product progression, so to speak. But, you know, obviously we're a little newer than you guys.
Yeah, but that's
yeah. But yeah, yes and no. So you guys, you're up to episode 19, mm-hmm. and you're consistent. And if you can do that, if you can start a podcast and keep it up for 19 episodes, you can keep it up for an infinite number of episodes. But that's basically the way it works. I mean, right. you guys are already past the bar. So
right. You make a system that works for you. This doesn't have to yeah. match anybody else's system.
Right. So yes, we've done, what did I just say? We were up to 251 episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, you guys are already, you've already made what you need to make to have a good podcast, to have a good conversation. You guys have chemistry. That's the way to do it. And I really like also when I listen to your show in the same way, you get a sense of who you guys are, and yeah, I want to come play games with you, and I'm glad that I do. So that's really good, and that's what I like about doing this kind of thing.
And I try to tell everybody to come play with us, because you know I don't think I've met anybody in our guild that I don't want to play a game with.
Right.
You know, they may be they may be the complete polar opposite of me, where I'm Mr. Enthusiasm and energy. And they may be just that, you know, I call it a monotone, but, you know, they're just as excited as me, but they talk, or their excitement doesn't show like mine. But playing a game with them is awesome. And that's the best part about playing games with people versus just playing Skyrim all alone for 200 hours.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is you get to interact with many different people. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I found for myself personally now that I play online games, I don't have time to play solo games.
Yeah.
I'm also fine.
I definitely don't.
No, there's, I don't know how you can do it. So AIE as a whole has a big event every year. It's called the Summer of Love. You guys want to tell us about it?
Yeah, sure.
Please.
So this started, again, a very long number of years ago, but a few years into the guild, and it really started over a somewhat serious event. It was a few years into the guild, and there was a player with the character name of Millaways, and he was a really, really cool guy, and he was, you know, he really embodied the culture of AIE, and you know, was really wanted everybody to have a good time and went out of his way to make sure that everybody that was in the guild had their moment and had a good experience and was having fun. And this guy passed away in real life, you know, and that hit everybody in the guild. And this was a guild at the time of hundreds of people. And it hit everybody really, really hard. Wow. So what the guild decided to do then was, all right, you know, this is a big thing for us. This hit us hard. It's sort of now, you know, we knew that AIE was more than just this online thing where we just, you know, go off and play games with strangers. We knew it was a real thing. We've started to like meet up in real life, and we've started to have these real life events as well. And people are like going off and getting married, having met in AIE. And now this happens. Now what we're going to do is once a year on the anniversary of this event, we're going to have a memorial. And it started with just Milliways, and then grew from there because, you know, over the years we've lost more members. Again, once you have, you know, at the peak, thousands of people that have come and gone in AIE, this kind of thing happens. Real life friends get lost in real life, right. Or spouses or siblings or parents. So once a year on August 2nd is our memorial service. It's called Remembrance Day. And we celebrate Remembrance Day in a few different ways in each of the games that we play in different ways. Then we decided, okay, well, around that, let's also celebrate the awesome parts of AIE as well. Let's turn it into a week, you know, so it still centers around Remembrance Day, but let's do like these awesome kind of player made events that we like to do periodically throughout the year anyway. Let's make a week long version of that, where in every game we play, we do one or two or three nights of these player made events, you know, really cool, some funny things, some, you know, PvP things, and we all get together in every game that we play, and let's call that Summer of Love. And we'll plan it out ahead of time. We'll have little contests and challenges and fun events, and that's what this turned into. We've been doing this for years now. We've got sort of, you know, videos and photos out there of people getting together for these kinds of things. And still, you know, this week on Thursday of the week is still going to be our Remembrance Day, and that's going to be a special night for everybody because we still get together in Discord and we all talk about, you know, who we've lost, but all the other nights is open season game on of player made events and really cool stuff happens. So it's real life stuff that we've all become part of that we want to celebrate.
Yeah. And you know, I've talked about it as a kid. I was always the kid that got bullied. And I was always the kid that got off the school bus, watched Star Wars, and read comic books. And I said it last year. And last year, it really hit me because you guys were talking about some of these guys that passed away. And I didn't know them, but it just made me think that, you know, I really found myself again once I joined the guild because I was surrounded by people who are like me. And I'm an odd duck. I really, truly am, but to be surrounded by people who think, I don't want to say think like me, but, you know, don't judge me for jumping in and breaking every CC that everybody does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It, even though they may say something, but they just look at it as, and it's just Marcus being Marcus, right?
Right.
And that's the best part about it.
So kicking off Summer of Love this year is in a pre-event is your mega event on Friday night, the Datacons in SOTOR.
I can't wait. That's tomorrow.
Yep.
That is tomorrow.
I'm really honored to be able to host an event every month because I just feel like we need more fun things to do.
It's really a plus, and I see it's really caught on and people are enthusiastic, and I just saw several people today mentioning in Discord how excited they are for it. So good on you, Marcus.
Well, I want to bring more people. You know, the first one was such a success because we did a world boss hunt and we had so much fun doing it. And then for me, having a couple people that I play with on another night that aren't in the guild, they're like, holy cow, Marcus, that was really fun. I'm going to join your guild. And then they see the AIE guild for what it is. And that's what wins for me because I try to tell people what it's like, but you can't know what it's like until you experience it. Right, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had nothing but really excellent experiences with AIE. Every time I come into group content with you guys, it's nothing but fun. I mean, that's exemplified, you know, the most in the first night when we did Terra from Beyond. Max walked me painstakingly, you know, at some points through the whole second half of the app.
Yeah.
It was just really appreciative of, you know, how much help everyone gave me and how patient everyone was. No one complained that, like, oh, there's a new guy and, you know, we got to wait before we do, you know, jump into each boss and stuff like that. It was just really welcoming. It was really cool to sort of just get ushered in so seamlessly with you guys when it was my first time doing anything like that.
And actually getting to understand what I've been talking about
right
for two years.
And that's really good to hear. I mean, and that's not to say that there aren't pockets in AIE and we don't support, you know, like that hardcore raid team or that nightmare ops team that wants to go off and get created and have tryouts and that kind of thing. Because there's space for that too, but there's space to do that right. In a way that's still within the culture where you're not demeaning every anyone, but you sort of set those rules up front and you provide a place for the people that want to do the really hard thing to group up and do that thing. But we certainly, you know, first and foremost, especially when somebody joins the guild and on our open guild nights and our mandatory fun nights are designed for, you know, we prioritize people that haven't done ops and don't know what's going on. That's the most fun for us in a mandatory fun night. So our MFN nights, when I get into, you know, MFN, when any of us leading MFN get to the start of the night and we go, all right, has anyone not done this fight? And somebody speaks up and says, yeah, I've never been in here. That's the coolest thing. That's the best. Because if everybody's been there and everybody knows the fight, then you're like, okay, well, then let's just go do the thing that we've done 1,000 times before.
Yeah.
Because we're doing Karaga's Palace again for whatever reason. But when somebody hasn't been there, then we get to go, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's more fun for us.
Story time. Pull up a chair. This is going to take a while.
Yes, I love that story time.
Yeah. Garsh, who drank too much milk?
we embellish the stories. Not only do we tell the story, right? Not only do we tell the story of the app, but we tell our own story around it on top of it. Yeah. You know, how terrible Garge is, not only what Soa tells us about Garge, but then we make up all the other terrible things that Garge has done. Yeah, and he's like, he finished the milk carton and then put the empty milk carton back in the fridge. What a terrible monster he is.
Yeah, but that's what it makes it fun. Yeah. So Max and Seema, how could we find you on Twitter or online?
Seema, why don't you go first? Because I have no idea. She doesn't tell me anything. I have
no I was going to ask you what my Twitter handle. I think it's AIE Seema, at AIE Seema.
Yeah.
Because you say it every week, but I stopped listening long ago. as you can tell, I'm not a huge social. I used to be, but I found it was draining too much of my brain power, and I don't have that much to spare.
That's so not true.
I do try to check Twitter, especially if you DM me on Twitter. I do try to stay on top of those, but I'm not that great at it. Basically, the best place to find me is on our Discord.
Yes. So at AIE Seema and at Max the Gray. that's what I say at the end of our podcast every time. Definitely on Discord. If you're trying to get, you know, we used to have, and we still have a dedicated open channel in Star Wars on Starforge. You could /cjoinAIELFO. But going into Discord nowadays, we publish our Discord link. We still want people to be nice in there, and we'll kick you off if you're not. But it's out there. It's aie-guild.org. There's a link at the top that you can find our Discord link. You go into the SWTOR channel. You ask in there for an invite, and we'll come set you up. You ask in there, and you say, hey, you know, hey, Marcus, what's up? Hey, Seema. You know, hey, Nick. Hey, Max. What's going on? Everybody's in there all the time. That's the best place to catch up with us.
Yeah, our Discord is really, really busy.
Yeah.
If you don't check it, you know, I didn't check it yesterday because I was working like a dog. I checked it and it was like 60 messages that I missed. And I'm just like, it's going to take me 20 minutes to read through this. Dude. Summary.
Sometimes I don't check it for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days or something. And it'll be like 1,000 messages. Yeah. Or something.
5 days.
You've lost at that point. You can't catch up.
I just hit the X and, you know, from the banner that comes up and
it scrolls all the way to the bottom and you read the last 5 things. You're like, oh, I'm caught up.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, there's the joke going around that the back scroll in Discord is evil. So live in the present. That's perfectly fine. Leave it to us to scroll back and keep up with everybody.
We'll right. And if you play a couple of games, then it's just that much worse.
Right. It's like double.
Yeah.
Or triple.
I don't have time.
Yeah, me either. Just so tired.
Thanks, guys, so much.
Thank you. This has been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting
show.
Us.
Yeah, and you guys are a blast. So really, thanks for having us on. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Come back anytime.
Anytime.
And I have to say, Marcus, I've been grinning this whole podcast because I saw in the show notes at the very beginning, but I didn't get it. It was just letters to me until you said it. 20 great teen. And I just think that's so Marcus.
Well, I was thinking about it. And at the beginning of the year, every year, so for my work, with my business coach, we talk about how, you know, what we have to improve on. And, you know, the outstanding joke was everything is going to be great. And one day I came home and Nick and I were talking. And I was like, oh, it's 20 great teen now. We got to focus. And he's like, what? And it kind of just stemmed from there. So anything about 2018 is 20 great teen because everything that happens in 2018 is going to be great. Even if it's bad, it's still going to turn out great. So turn your frowns upside down.
There you
go. That's the way to look at the world. Can't wait to finish off 20 great teen and get to 20 fine teen.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.